The signal had been given, a handful of salt, a fundamental right, and only freedom would assure that. Independence was now the goal. Dedicated as he was to India's freedom, however, this was not Gandhiji's sole purpose in life. He was a living example of righteousness, a true seeker of justice and equality for all. While he tried at all times to practice the noblest precepts of Hindu dharma, compassion, truthfulness, and universal love, he was also a tireless crusader against its evils. "I regard untouchability as the greatest blot on Hinduism," he wrote. "Untouchability has degraded us." He gave the untouchables a new name, Harijans, the children of God, washed their feet, and made his fellow residents at the Sabarmati Ashram follow suit. In Delhi, he lived in their colony and undertook a fast unto death to ensure that the Dalits remained a part of free India forever. While Gandhi was regarded with affection and respect by millions willing to make sacrifices for the cause of freedom through Ahimsa, there were others who felt that non-violence was not the way to freedom. The most prominent among them was Subhash Chandra Bose, who had been elected Congress president in 1939, the year World War II broke out. When he differed with Gandhiji, Netaji broke with the Congress, founded his forward bloc, and escaped British detention to seek an accommodation with the Germans and the Japanese. In Southeast Asia, he issued his stirring call to all Indians overseas and those who were prisoners of war of the Japanese to volunteer for his Indian National Army that would march side by side with the Imperial Japanese Army to liberate India.
"I am overjoyed to see that you have already realized that the responsibility of winning freedom does not rest merely on the shoulders of our countrymen at home. It is but natural that they should bear the brunt of the burden, and they have been doing so already. But at the same time, every Indian, no matter where he may be living at the present time, has a duty towards his country, and he must contribute his due share towards the final victory. I am convinced that India cannot hope to be free until all Indians living abroad perform their duty in this momentous world crisis. The task of liberating India is ours and ours alone. That responsibility we shall not cast on anybody else, because that would be against our national honor. Moreover, we have no right to ask for or expect help from any quarter until we ourselves have first of all done our very utmost. Our countrymen and our sisters and brothers at home have been doing their best in the circumstances in which they are placed. But the enemy is ruthless and desperate, and he is armed to the teeth. Against such a brutal foe, no amount of civil disobedience or of sabotage or of revolutionary terrorism can be of any avail. If therefore we want to expel British power from India, we have to fight the enemy with his own weapons. The enemy has already drawn the sword. He must therefore be fought with the sword. But it is not possible for our countrymen at home to organize an armed revolution and to fight the British army of occupation with modern arms. This is a task which must therefore devolve on Indians living abroad, and particularly on Indians living in East Asia. Friends, if you compare the history of our national struggle with the histories of similar struggles in other parts of the world, you will realize that we in India have lacked one thing and one thing alone. We lack the strength and organization whereby we can meet force with force. It is our task here in East Asia to supply this one want and thereby eliminate once for all the only drawback that we have in our national struggle. I therefore desire that all able-bodied Indians living in East Asia should volunteer to fight with me for the liberation of our motherland. This is our supreme task and duty, before which no other type of service counts for much. All those countrymen of mine who are prepared to fight for the liberation of India will please get into touch with me at once, either direct or through their local organization. I am confident that with the help of my countrymen in East Asia, I shall be able to organize such a gigantic force as will be able to sweep away the British power from India in conjunction with those who have already been fighting at home. The hour has struck, and every patriotic Indian must advance towards the field of battle. Only when the blood of freedom-loving Indians begins to flow will India attain her freedom. Inqilab Zindabad. Azad Hind Zindabad.